Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday to you. So I have lived a lifetime since last we spoke. Let me kind of take my time and catch you guys up. So in our last episode, my mom had taken a fall about a week ago, which seems impossible. It's only been a week. Took a fall at home and was taken to Alt Memorial. She was there for, I think, 3 days while they stabilized her so that she could go to a rehab. And that was supposed to be the day of the eclipse, but they didn't take her till the next day, which would have been, what, guys, Tuesday? Mm-hmm. So on Tuesday, I go over there and I meet her at the rehab facility, which was over here on this side of the river, so I could be closer to her. I was given a list of 20 places. There were two of them that were 5 stars. I picked the 2 5-stars. The one I really wanted in Clayton had a bed available, but not until like Wednesday. And this other place had a bed available that day. So they, by law, they get it. It's like, okay, which I was fine with because it was a 5-star place. Take her there, get her all settled in. And in the early evening at some point, I say, okay, am I okay to go? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, go, 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 go. And so I go home and I'm home about an hour and they call and she has fallen. So that night, so MoBAP was my hospital of choice because I love MoBAPs where Phoebe was born. And, you know, I just think it's a great hospital. So I'm with my mom at the emergency room in MoBAP until 3 a.m. And she has a severely broken hip. And I'm not going to dox the rehab place because I'm pretty sure we're going to end up in litigation because after she fell, I met with the 2 people in charge. And Rachel's seen my eyes go gray. Andrew's seen my eyes go gray. Not many of you have, but my eyes were gray. That's what happens when I'm mad. But I held my temper, and I was very professional, and I shook their hands. I just kept asking them how this could have happened. And they probably foolishly told me all the things they can do when someone is a fall risk, none of which they did until after she fell.
Wow.
And then they did it. So before that, she was just laying in a bed by herself, and they said that her standard of care is to check every 2 hours on someone who's 96 years old, who's there literally exclusively to be evaluated and treated as a fall risk. But they didn't do any of those things. But the minute she fell, they did those things, which as a lawyer, I'm like, you don't have to be a lawyer. You could have just seen one episode of Barnaby Jones to know you probably shouldn't have done that. But they did. So anyway, neither here nor there. One of the people that works there who I met very briefly, who called me yesterday, is a peach of a guy who's a big fan of the show. And it's almost out of pure respect for him that I'm not just saying where the place was. But I will say this. Be extremely, extremely careful when you take your loved ones, especially someone who's a fall risk for any kind of rehab or nursing home. And many of you have already lived this nightmare that I'm living now. So anyway, my mom breaks her hip very badly. They thought they'd have to just put a nail, as they call it, which is a fairly straightforward deal. They got in there and it was worse. They had to go. They had to do a rod from her hip down through her femur. And now she is in MoBAP, and she'll be going through whatever therapy you give to an almost 100-year-old person. But I have to give a shout-out to the people at MoBAP because they were fantastic, from Dr. Waddles to Nurse Lindsay to everyone. They couldn't have been better. Dr. Kella, who is in the emergency room that night with us, it's just surreal. And Rach and I were just discussing, she's not been through this. I said, is there anything more exhausting other than maybe being a part of a funeral? And most of us have done that. Like if you've had to be the person to present a loved one, you know, it's your dad, it's your mom, and you're the one greeting everyone. It's beyond exhausting. Right next to that is being in a waiting room at a hospital. Worse than that is being in the room with your mom who has dementia, who is fighting and trying to pull out her IVs and her Foley catheters and is succeeding. And you are physically trying to keep her from it. and her clothes are coming off, and there's just no dignity in it, and it's terrible. So that's my life. That's what I'm doing these days. And then a shout out to Nick, who's a saint. Nick's been with me every second.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, he's the best.
Can't do. I mean, that stuff is so hard to do alone. You know, I mean, like, and I mean, obviously, I've seen it in two different ways. You know, with my mom's open heart, wasn't the same thing with dementia. Wasn't the same thing with the mind changing. But she had to have her arms tied to the bed,
right?
Because they didn't want her to accidentally or even intentionally, just because you're out of it when you're medicated, pull the breathing tubes out or you know all that stuff. Like, and saw that, obviously saw something similar to what you're describing with my father-in-law. And having someone there has got to be huge.
Yes.
Because alone, it's bad enough with two or three. Alone, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, it's very difficult. So that's what I'm going through. And it's weird enough, but like my mom famously, until a week ago, lived by herself. And she was lonely and lonesome. And, you know, I'd go see her and I would say, well, Mom, and this has been going on for years and years, like, we should look at some places because you could be around people. And, you know, she didn't want to be around old people, ironically. but I would say to her, I'm like, look, and this is when she was still very lucid. I would say, I will never put you in a nursing home. You don't have to worry about that. Okay. It's not to my advantage. I don't want to see it happen. I'm never going to do that. But one of these days, if you happen to fall and you end up in an emergency room, a doctor or a social worker, they do have the authority to say they can't go home. And we should probably check a couple places out and be ready for that. And maybe I should have, even without her saying yes, but she's the single most stubborn 80 pounds of flesh. She's like the most stubborn meatloaf you'll ever see. And she just refused. And now it's happened. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That in my experience, most of the things you worry about and most of the things you threaten don't have, neither of them happen. But this one that I worried about and threatened has now come to pass almost exactly the way we feared that it would.
Mm.
So she'll be in Moab for another week or so, and then I will make a much, much more careful choice about where she goes back to a rehab, and I'll keep you guys posted. We'll see how it goes.
Certainly puts a lot more questions in your mind, doesn't it?
Oh, like, my
in
goodness.
And I mean in advance of going into the next place, are you doing this? Are you doing this? Are you doing this? Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was having a talk with my boss, Steve, who went through some similar things with his mom. And this is Steve's point, but I couldn't agree more with it. I don't think it's a conspiracy, but it is a straight-up scam. The fact that 40 years ago, maybe, definitely 50, you would live your life, you would smoke unfiltered cigarettes while you ate cherry pie made with lard, and you would drop dead at 78 from a heart attack, right? And your funds, your savings, your pensions, whatever you put away would be intact for your spouse or your kids. Now, we are obsessed with living as long as we possibly can, and we're eating 500 calories a day, and we're using Ozempic, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, and you're taking statins, and I don't need to tell you how giant the huge pharma companies are, and we are outliving our money, and I can tell you this, I do okay if and I plan on working another 10 years. If I saved all my money the next 10 years, it's not enough. It will be gone if I have to go into a facility. Mm-hmm. The place that my mom was $7,800 a month, and it was fine. It wasn't there are no fountains, okay? And it was $7,800 a month. Now, you have to be F you rich to not notice $7,800 a month coming out of your life savings, right? For most of this, that's a couple, 3-4 years if you've really done pretty well. And so it just feels like, how are things worse? Because go to any facility and you're going to find people who are doing okay. You know, Ned over there likes feeding the goats, or he likes watching Cardinal baseball with his new best friend, Bob. You'll find people who are doing okay. But you'll mostly find people who are just sort of in a corner like cattle, and that's just the way it goes. And so it just seems like we're been sold this bill of goods to live as long as you possibly can, and then we spend a fortune on drugs to do it, and then we all inevitably, if we don't keel over from the lard-filled cherry pie and the unfiltered cigarettes, we end up in a facility where we either hide our money, you know, or our loved ones see their inheritance just dwindle by 10 grand a month. Sorry to be so depressing.
No, but it's the reality. Yeah.
But it's just the reality of my life right now. And this whole show for 24 years has been life through my eyes. And now this is what my eyes are seeing. And being I'll be 60 in September, so I got a ways to go, hopefully. Although I'm going to start smoking and eating pie. but I'm close enough that I can see it, right? And I'm coming over the hill, and I'm like, oh, I see that. And you really do, it puts things in perspective.
How many people are driving along just nodding, saying, yep.
So many.
That's been my life. That's my experience. I mean, I guarantee.
Good care is hard to find, and when you do, it's really, really expensive.
Yeah.
It's prohibitively expensive.
My first call tomorrow is to a long-term care person. I don't know jack crap about long-term care.
Right.
It may be prohibitively expensive, you know, pay now, pay later, I don't know. But I know sitting there and having someone hand you a pamphlet and say, what kind of money has your mom got? Because it's going to be roughly $8,000 a month after you pay for, like, hairdressers and things like that. And it is. It's depressing because there are those among us that have enough money that they, whatever, it doesn't matter whether it's $50,000 a month or $100,000 a month. Most of us, that's not the case. Most of us bust our ass and scrimp and save to put together $500,000 in savings to retire on. And gone.
$100,000 a year.
Yes. Yes.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
I mean, and think about it in your prime spending days for your normies. And again, not rich guys, but normies. Who's spending $100,000 a year, like spending on your home, like on your living expenses? Whose mortgage is that? I know it's more than that because it's medical care, food, right? I get that. But man, it's a heavy load.
Yeah. All the way around. So for everyone out there who listens to the show and who feels some investment in our lives and in my life, just thoughts, you know, prayers from Amy. I'll take them. Welcome back, guys. DGS 122. So from problems in my actual family to problems in my work family, we have lunch every day together, me and my work family, and it got a little heated today, and here's kind of how it went down. So
it's got to have something to do with Kevin.
No, this time it doesn't.
No, this time it doesn't.
Completely out of it.
I was on the sidelines.
Who's your next guest?
I just thought it was the two
Andrew
of them.
Andrew was actually my first and third guest, and Kevin was number two.
So I really wanted some Chinese soup today, and I told Andrew, I'll buy you lunch if you'll give me some Chinese soup, some egg drop soup. And so he does, and he buys himself some duck, which he's never had.
Okay.
And
that's not weird to not have had duck before.
It's not even the...
No, but it's weird to try it out on someone else's dime. Like, duck?
What?
This is going to go bad.
What better time to try something out?
Actually, Andrew's got a point there.
I hadn't even thought of that.
What better? Never had that.
I'll have the surf and turf for lunch.
Andrew is eating it, and I go, what kind of meat is that? And he goes, duck. And it didn't even register.
No, you're right. I really overspent on the $8 duck over white rice.
How's your ceviche?
I'm so sorry I did that to you.
The important safety tip, never eat $8 duck.
Yeah. Damn.
So anyway... He's regaling us with how he's never had duck before, and then he says, "Is that what foie gras is?" And we're like, "No, that's goose." And they
it's liver,
they,
right?
Yeah, yeah, it's goose and it's liver, and they force feed them and they stuff it, and it's not very nice. And so then we keep eating.
He proceeds to look it up on his phone.
I got my phone. I looked it up.
And so Rach is eating something that is not foie gras, but could look like it. And Andrew's like, "Oh, look at this! They take a tube and they shove it down the gullet, and then they take the hands of a small child and they use that to shove it farther down into their stomach.
They stuff it down the
and
tube."
And Rach goes, "Ah, lunchtime eating,"
and, which is fair.
And Andrew, yeah, Andrew got his feelings hurt.
He just goes silent and he goes. And I'm like, I'm the villain for pointing out they were eating.
Yeah, I said the same thing I'm saying now, which is like, okay, well, I mean, we're talking about foie gras. We're having the conversation, and I'm like, this is interesting. So they do it by, the way that they force feed is they put the tube down, and then you guys are like, oh my gosh.
But it would be the difference between me going, so they had to put a rod in my mom's femur, and then going, let me tell you how they do that.
Let me show you some photos.
Here's where the disconnect is for me. Here's where I'm getting confused. Is because when you say they force feed the goose, do we not all already get a mental image that is in no way furthered by me going, they stick a tube down the throat?
It's furthered.
It's definitely furthered.
It doesn't for me. For me, it's way worse. For me, I'm picturing like prying open the bill and
shoving their hand down there. That's what they're doing.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm getting the mental image.
The goose has its bill clenched shut.
Like, think of you're eating. Yeah.
No more. Awful.
Open up.
So I'm already getting that mental image, and it's not made worse by me. Like, they use it.
Well, others had though. That's hadn't. The point.
That's where you're wrong.
Right. Yeah.
That's where you're
wrong. How am I supposed to know?
And he's so
just
defensive.
Maybe when
if
they
just
said
say
it
like,
out loud?
If you just say, like, hey, we're eating, he gets so defensive.
Because I want
so
the audience, I want to make sure the audience understands this, because some people don't listen every day. This happens all the time.
Because all the time you ratchet it up to the next level that we don't need to go to.
All the time, I just further a conversation in progress, and everybody goes, wow, one step farther to again.
You are the conversational equivalent of bumpers when you're bowling. Like, no matter how bad we throw it, you are going to say something worse. Like, you can always count on you to take
it
to another
it.
Level.
We're all thinking it.
We're not all thinking it. No.
We weren't.
We were saying, what is foie gras again? Oh, okay. Moving on with our lives.
Look, I want to know how they force feed the goose.
Well, you can know that.
You can go home and study.
Well, I mean, he could have just read it to himself.
Yes. I thought my friends might be interested in knowing the tube process.
As we eat our lunch.
Yeah.
It's not gross.
It is gross.
It's only gross. It's mean as hell.
Is it appetizing?
It's not. It's neither. It's not appetizing, but it's not like disgusting.
This guy over here neutral. Yesterday is telling me how afraid he is of cicadas, but while everybody's eating, he wants to go through the details of how they torture an animal before they make it food.
Welcome to the meat industry, Kevin. Read the jungle sometime, brother. I mean,
welcome,
it's all gross.
But no, like,
it's all bad.
We all get
it's all torture of animals.
Andrew, we all get that. Nobody sits and describes it while they're eating.
I guess I'm the weird one, then.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. In this case, yes. Yep, you got it. That's it.
I guess I'm the maniac.
Realization is the first step.
Maniac.
It's just the $8. It's just the $8 duck talking. $136 DGS. One more thing just about what's going on in my life with my mom. You guys remember the game Don't Break the Ice Don't Wake Up Daddy or any of those that like, you know, Kerplunk or any of those kinds of things. That's how life really is, where like you're going along and you're doing okay. And then someone wakes up daddy or someone breaks through the ice and it's 3 a.m. and you're 100-year-old naked mom is trying to pull out a Foley catheter and you don't know what's going on with life. That's how life seems to go.
Yeah.
You know? Or, God forbid, it's the other way around. You find out that your child is sick.
Right.
You know, that's worse. That's far, far worse. Mm. But, yeah, I wish I could. I started to say I wish I could impress that on my kids, but I don't know that you want to. Life's going to teach them that anyway.
See, I don't know that it's a thing that, I think it's a thing you have to experience.
Yeah.
To a degree.
Because you can't be prepared for it.
No.
Even as much as you might think about it.
You can think about it and all that, but no. Yeah. Like, because the reality is always, because it's reality. It's not in theory. It's
I
not
mean,
an
I
idea.
I was prepared for this, and I wasn't prepared for
right,
this.
Right, right. I mean, your mom's 96.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't a shock.
Right.
But when it happens, 3 in the morning in an ER, still 3 in the morning in the ER.
Right.
Which, by the way, people who work in healthcare who are good at what they do are superheroes.
Yeah.
They're angels.
Yep.
I spent about an hour waiting in the emergency room, waiting room at MoBat before my mom got wheeled in. And people with their fingers off, like literally people sitting there like someone chopped their finger off. And you're just like, damn.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little Cardinals. You said they're making some interesting moves.
Well, they did today. I mean, like, the good news is Lars Nootbaar's back from the injured list, so he's joining them on their trip to Arizona, so they'll play the Diamondbacks starting this weekend. Good to have him in there. The offense has been struggling, so anybody that might provide a little offense is going to be welcome. I thought it was interesting that the player they sent out was the third catcher, was Pedro Pajes, instead of... another person, whether it doesn't matter. It could be Victor Scott, who's really struggling. I mean,
yeah. Explain that. It's a little in the weeds, but that
yeah,
was
I won't go too crazy on it. But you know, if you there's the great website if you're a baseball fan called Baseball Savant. It's just taking all of the information that baseball gets from their equipment at stadiums, and it tells you how hard a person's hitting it. You know, whether or not that hit should be that ball in play should be a hit.
Yeah,
right. Things like that, like. X percentage of time a ball hit that hard in that place is a hit versus out. Well, anyway, just going through all of that, Victor Scott has a really good chase rate, which means he's not swinging at pitches he shouldn't, right? He's really not doing very often where he's swinging at a ball way out of the zone or anything like that. The problem is if you're not making outs by chasing bad pitches, it means he's making outs by getting good pitches and not doing anything with them. And that's the problem. So when you don't chase... but you're striking out a fair amount. I mean, he's in the bottom 40% in baseball and strikeout rate. He's in the bottom 15% in walk rate. So and essentially, if you're boiling it down, pitchers are throwing him strikes and he's not doing anything with it.
Yeah.
It's just he's probably just not ready, but they needed him, and they are prioritizing the defense.
Yeah.
But now you're going to have two outfielders on the roster in Victor Scott II and Michael Ciani, who are great defenders but don't hit, are not providing any offense. And you're going to need both catchers in the lineup because they're two of the only guys hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Contreras and Herrera. Herrera's killing. I mean, he is your best hitter the last week. So you need both of them in. So now if something were to happen, let's say Herrera's catching and Contreras is still the designated hitter. And he's had a problem catching, by the way, because of his hand. Which this tells me they think that's fine, by the way. They think that he's capable of catching and we'll see him back there. But now if one of those guys is the DH, the other one is hitting, and let's say you get hit by another pitch. Or Herrera gets hit by a pitch that has to come out. Well, now you're losing the DH, and now you have a pitcher hitting every time through the order, or you have to pinch hit every time that comes around. It's just a weird... I was surprised they sent out the catcher. It's not a big controversy or anything. It's just...
I know they want the defense, but it was really bad timing because he boxed one last night. Like, he absolutely botched a play in center field.
Oh,
and
Victor
led
Scott.
To a run.
Because
they want to keep his defense, and then he made a really bad play yesterday, which cost him.
I mean...
They ended up losing by one.
So here's the thing, and it's super early, so these numbers don't necessarily tell you much. His defense is not rating well based on the measurements that they use for MLB.com. I don't think it's as bad as it shows, but it says his fielding run value, it's a scale of 1 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
100 being the best, 1 being the worst. They have him at a 3.
What?
Yes, and I don't think that's accurate because it's small sample size. So, like, that one play yesterday carries way too much weight when you're only talking about a couple of weeks into a season. So I don't remember what it was yesterday, but it wasn't that bad. It was way better than that. But how great can you be defensively to make up for not hitting at all? And it's not, again, not picking on him. Just saying that the team is having a problem. They're in the bottom 5 in every offensive category
right now. I saw an article today. I didn't read the whole thing, but the headline was basically that Marmol made some quotes that were not optimistic, or at least were realistic, mostly about their big guns not hitting.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. The biggest problem is that Arenado and Goldschmidt aren't hitting. Yeah. I mean, that's why they rank in the bottom five in everything. Runs, home runs, batting average, on base, you name it.
How surprised are you that, I know it's early,
yeah,
but it's early in year two of that?
Yeah, the problem is I disconnect one year from the next until there's a longer pattern that connects them, right? 2 weeks doesn't tell us enough, because if, just say, let's say Goldschmidt has a big weekend in Arizona and he goes 5 for 9. Well, now his numbers are in 3 days going to look exactly like they're supposed to at this time of year. So it's too early to decide. But yeah, it's why you're struggling. I mean, you can easily say that. And you can easily say that with that same batted ball information I'm giving you about Scott.
Yeah.
It's not bad luck for Goldie or Arenado. They are getting what their quality of contact says they should.
I don't know nothing about nothing, but Arenado looks uncomfortable. In the box.
Something does look off with him.
Always,
I don't know what it is,
he's
though.
He's always looked a little weird. Like, he doesn't move the same way other guys do. And that's not unusual. A lot of hitters, a lot of players do
his
that.
Swing, though, Kevin. Don't you? He's not really finishing the way he used to.
No, he used to finish one hand long, and he's finishing a lot of two hand. And it looks like he's cutting the swing off a little bit. But
is that injury? What is that?
I mean, it could just be something he's been trying to do and working on. But honestly, when I'm looking at him, I see a frustrated player.
Mm-hmm.
Who, once you start chasing numbers, once you start chasing and you're not used to it, like he admitted last year was hard on him because he was chasing all year long. And I don't mean chasing pitches. I mean chasing numbers. You got off to a bad start, and now you're trying to make up for it and you're overanalyzing everything. And he looks that way. Again, it's all about appearance from a distance. This is not, in his head talking to him, whatever. I mean, this is all the appearance that the frustration from last year seems to have to be carrying over in some at-bats. But it also could just be he stinks for 2 weeks. I mean, it's a six-month season. Everybody's going to stink for 2 weeks. It's just way harder to for all of us to put it into perspective when it's the first 2 weeks. If he were to hit for a month and then have this two-week run, it doesn't really – it's not weird. It doesn't look anything strange. But when you start with it, immediately we're flashing back to last year. And it may be that. We just don't have enough information to say that it is, that it's going to continue. We'll find out.
In general, pitching, how's it going?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like the starting.
That's not the problem.
Not right now. It's not. No, right now it's not. They're not hitting. The bullpen's actually coming together nicely. I mean, Libertor's been good in the bullpen. Jojo Romero is picking up where he left off last year, which is a good sign because we didn't know that he would.
And even the other day when, who was it that gave up the 2-3 run homers in the first inning?
Yeah, it was Kyle Gibson.
I mean, those are two pitches.
Right, and then he pitched six innings, though. Like, he didn't get blown out of the game because he gave up a bunch of runs early. He stuck in there, and that helps the bullpen for the days that follow. So it's been fine. It could be better. Like Gibson could be better. Lynn could be getting a little deeper into games. Now that you have Sonny Gray, you will naturally be better with having him in there.
Yeah.
So the pitching is probably what I'd say fine, right, Ronj?
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's fine.
And the bullpen seems to be, if you can get Helsley back to being like quality normal closer, bullpen actually looks like it could be pretty good.
How is Helsley struggling? Just getting hit.
He's had two bad outings. I mean, again, that's the other thing. Like, as a reliever, two bad outings, you're only pitching one inning at a time. Every number looks terrible.
Yep.
And it takes you a month to get it back to where it looks like normal. So I for him, I wouldn't overanalyze. Velocity seems good. His command's not been great, but he's not really a command pitcher.
Non-Cardinals baseball thing. You saw the Shohei Ohtani,
did you see this, Dave?
Federal charges that his interpreter is now facing.
Yeah.
In the complaint from December 2021 through January of this year, Mizuhara placed 19,000 wagers. It's kind of a lot.
Wow!
I don't even know how you would
lose.
How do you physically do that?
Losing bets. And I don't know how this is possible because I don't know where... $182.9 million in losing bets, $142.27 million in winning bets. So the losses are over $40
million.
And he lied to the bank, apparently, to get access to Otani's accounts.
He impersonated Otani, according to the charges, to the bank. And then another thing that's in the charging documents is that he went into Otani's, account settings for the bank and changed it so that nobody would get notifications about any transactions.
A criminal.
Well, again, the federal government is charging him with this. This is not Major League Baseball figured this out.
Yeah, this is a federal crime.
I mean,
Something tells me the bank may be replacing that money as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and I know that people are out there like, oh, they found their fall guy. Really, you think that the federal prosecutors are going to be helping Major League Baseball?
No.
I mean, they have the evidence that shows this. That's what they're prosecuting.
Jeez.
So, yeah, he's going to jail for a long time.
Could be 30, up to 30 years.
Yeah. And it seems like there's an expectation he's going to accept a plea. Because if he doesn't, he could go away forever.
153 DGS on KMOX. We have Ricky Horton coming up in the next hour. We have George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet coming up at the top of the hour. Rach, the Dune popcorn bucket's back in the news.
It's back in the news. Oh. Because all you pervs ruined the Dune popcorn bucket. Oh, yeah.
They did it.
They did it. Well, that's right, Kevin.
It can't help that we saw it.
AMC has come out and said, if we knew that you people were going to pervert our popcorn bucket like this, we would have never put it out there. We had no idea it was going to elicit such strong emotions.
All they needed was one 13-year-old boy to be a consultant.
I mean,
well, just take one
just
look at it.
Open your eyes.
Please tell me.
Oh, you know what that looks like.
They actually used the phrase, you people, in their statement.
That was you
all
perverts.
You sickos. Yeah.
Sir, that's a lot of butter.
Yeah. We didn't make it look like that. You did that.
Do you think these big companies, though, should put together like an online forum where you can sign up and be like, yeah, I'm an 11-year-old boy and I, or, you know, I'm a 14.
The hell are you talking about?
Let me finish my sentence. Oh gosh, I'm losing my train of thought here. No, I'm just saying like they should get like a large swath of people and be like, is there anything wrong here? Because there's always something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't look at me like that, Dave.
You're right. I think you're right.
I'm being thrown to the wolves right now.
See, don't you hate it when he just looks at you?
Yes, he just looks at you like,
and you
feel
like, should I keep talking? It's,
yeah, exactly. I really like
and
that
you
move.
Gained a little bit back from that flock rock.
I just think the 11-year-old boys. Hold on, girl.
11-year-old boy, I was
they
like,
need
I'm
a
toast.
Panel of 11-year-old boys.
I'll be happy to put that together.
Her whole mood shifted, and she was like, uh-oh. Oh, man.
Dang it.
I've made a huge mistake.
Oh, no.
All right. Thankfully, I control the music, and I'm going to choose to go right
okay,
now.
Okay, then. Rich is like, we are out.
Let's get out of here.
Maybe not Gary Glitter.